Welcome to MC Who?
Who?
The official podcast of the unofficial movies of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. My name is Rainy Day Justin.
And I'm Soggy Andy.
And if you love comics, if you love movies, or even if you just love...
raised bed gardening.
Then this show is for you. It's a real left turn there at the end. That's good.
Yeah.
It is a rainy day here in Kansas City.
Ooh, boy, sure is.
We've had a rainy couple weeks. But we're going to
bring... those raised beds love it.
We're going to bring some sunshine to all you folks today. We have a whole new guest today. I can't keep talking. I got to just throw it over. We have Chris Stoker here with us today. Welcome, Chris.
And he's already making us laugh over the Zoom pictures that he's doing, and he's creating for us.
This is an audio-only podcast.
Yeah, I'll describe in detail. I'm going to start my own podcast where I describe in detail what I was doing at the beginning of this podcast that you can't see.
Is it just going to be one episode?
No, I'm going to string it out over a few.
Good. Good.
So, Chris, as this rain comes down so hard... tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you up to? What are you doing?
I don't do much of anything. I perform and stuff and teach. And I'm doing some of those things online right now. And this all current situation kind of as awful as it is vibes with me because I'm a kind of reclusive and curmudgeonly, so I get to have an excuse to stay indoors a lot and force my family to as well.
There we go.
At gunpoint.
Right. Yeah. It's more of a hostage situation than a quarantine.
Tell me, Chris, have you ever read a comic book?
Yeah, I've read a comic book. I've read a lot of comic books. I used to read comic books a lot when I was younger. I really only read X-Men comic books for quite a long time, and that's kind of still what I'm interested in. And now I can't sometimes justify going and buying comic books, so I just watch YouTube people describe what happens in a comic book so I can keep abreast of the situation. And that helps me waste my time sufficiently as well.
Mm-hmm. I try to read as much as I can on that Marvel Unlimited app, but there's so much.
Get it. You can read, Justin. Stop bragging.
He brags about it every episode. It's crazy.
Every podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Reading is powerful. All right, people?
Don't start spreading your...
Yeah.
Reading gives you...
Him and his reading agenda.
Chris, yep. Who's your favorite Marvel character?
My favorite Marvel character, it's hard. It vacillated a lot. I always really liked Warlock.
I knew you were going to say Warlock.
Wow.
Yeah. Not Adam Warlock though. He seems boring. Especially any of the characters, they're like, I have every power and I can do everything.
Right.
Really don't like. I like.
I really hope we get a character like that for our episode.
Yeah. Super I hope vanilla. So too. And then I'll just act like doing the whole thing, and you guys are trying to coax answers out of me. No, Warlock's interesting because he's a weird kind of tech narc, but he spent a lot of time with the New Mutants and is a mutant because he technically, his race is aggressive and kill each other and they're angry. And his mutant power is he has feelings. So I always kind of enjoyed that. And also he was kind of like a bizarre, silly cartoon alien guy that always was a little bit out of place and could shapeshift into things and stuff. So I enjoyed
him. No. He's great. I tried to get Warlock in an episode that we made in season one. And I don't know if I ever succeeded in that or not, but he's a zany character. He's he's got that crazy like wiry hair and whatnot.
Yeah. He's, He never looks the same in any panel, is what I
No, he doesn't. Well, good. So I can guarantee we will not have Warlock today. He's not on the list because I just I've really stayed away from mutants and X-Men altogether. But
that's kind of racist.
Well, yeah, it is.
I wasn't going to say it.
So true.
That's, yeah, you fit perfectly into the Marvel universe then because they're hated throughout.
Hating on the muties.
I don't like calling them muties.
It sounds really derogatory.
It is. It's the term that they use in the comics.
I mean, muties. They say it, so why can't we? Yeah. That's my hate on muties voice.
That's your William Stryker voice.
Ooh, that is a good William Stryker voice. It's not bad. Mm-hmm. Let's get down to brass tacks, and by that I mean roll a die.
Yeah,
let's roll these brass tacks.
Chris, go ahead and roll that die, and let me know what you get.
All right, I have my totally realistic die ready in my hand here, and I am getting ready to roll it. Here I go. Just waiting for my realistic die to.
The facade is ruined.
Here.
This is good.
20.
20.
A 20?
Good solid number. 20.
You got a 20?
A natural
that number's
20.
Like a brick. Number's
okay,
like a brick.
Okay, let me screen share the list with you. Here we go. So, number 20.
Oh, I love it.
Who'd you get, Chris?
I got Sleepwalker.
Sleepwalker, baby.
This is
Sleepwalker.
Great. Yeah.
He's a natural 20 for a reason. First reaction, yeah. Chris?
First reaction. Sleepwalker is a guy. He's a weird character from another world that lives in people's dreams, and he would swap places with this guy whose, I guess, brain he lived in. I had a good friend, the only other friend I had that read comic books when I was a kid, and he... Sleepwalker was his guy. It was his go-to guy. Yeah, he had all the issues, and I had a bunch too.
This
and
is awesome.
Discontinued it after a while. Yeah, very interesting looking character. I don't know that he still is around in the Marvel universe.
He well, I'll get to that in a second. Andy, first reaction.
Oh, you have an answer to that? Okay.
It sounds like my first instinct was right. I would have guessed that it's some sort of dream-based superpower that can transfer into people's dreams or perhaps bring the dream world into reality. So that would have been my guess.
Yeah. I mean, yes, Chris, I think it's crazy awesome that you actually know this character, considering he's kind of a deep cut. I would assume that you only know the deep cuts, actually, so that makes sense. You like to live down in the deep cuts.
Like a germ.
Sleepwalker.
Like germ.
This is gonna be a 2-hour episode.
Good.
Yeah, there's a lot there. So let's jump off real quick, and we will grab some research and do a little. Do a little digging into Sleepwalker, and we'll be right back.
Alrighty.
And we're back. Alright, so Sleepwalker, originally created in 1991, in the Sleepwalker number one. Title. Sleepwalker is a pretty interesting character. So he's actually an alien from a place called the Mindscape. Now, there are many different creatures that inhabit the Mindscape, all kinds of different beings. Many of them are dangerous, and they, seek sleeping minds of humans to invade and, corrupt and whatnot. But some of these sleepwalkers act as guardians and defend the minds of innocent sleeping humans from these dangerous creatures. So there's basically a dream police.
Dream Police.
The Sleepwalker is one of
that song.
Guardians. That's a Sting song, surely.
Cheap Trick, actually.
Well, that's just Sting didn't get to it first. He would have.
He missed the boat there. So Sleepwalker is one of these guardians, one of these good I was gonna say one of the good ones.
Not good. Here we go again.
Crazy old racist Justin. So anyway, he enters the mind. He's tricked, I guess, actually, by his arch enemy Cobweb, and he enters the mind of just some random dumbass college student in New York City named Rick Sheridan, which sounds like straight out of porno, if you ask me. It sounds like a real porno name. Rick Sheridan. No offense if any of our listeners are named Rick Sheridan. I mean, it's a cool name.
We lost the Rick Sheridan demographic.
Yeah.
So Rick, a little bit about Rick. He's a college student. He's a nice guy. He works part time teaching English to immigrants. Got a dog, Rick, named Rambo. He lives in Brooklyn. He's majoring in film studies. And he also has an on-again, off-again romance with a girl named Alyssa Conover.
There we go.
So Sleepwalker is, I guess, trapped in his mind at some point. I'm not really sure how this works. Maybe
when they first meet, yeah, he's like trapped there because he battled with Cobweb in Rick Sheridan's mind. And even though he won, he was still trapped in the mind of Rick Sheridan.
Okay.
What did he lose his imaginator or something?
Yeah, he lost his Imaginator, which is the badge that Sleepwalkers get to be able to transport in the Mindscape.
Right, obviously.
As one does. So he's trapped with Rick Sheridan. He ends up kind of taking control of Rick's body and conscience, I guess, so that he can protect Rick against a gang. Because Rick's getting attacked by a gang, which is going to be fun to figure out why that's happening. So anyway, that's how we kind of get this like two minds inhabiting one body, or you know, like a Shazam type thing where you know he says the magic word and then Sleepwalker comes out and he turns into a different creature and that kind of thing. So we have
what
that going on.
What would the magic word be?
I'm sleepy.
Dream Police. He has to sing Dream Police.
Yeah, wonderful.
The magic word is, I guess I need an Ambien. And
good. There's a lot of different villains that we can throw in this one. I mean, he kind of crosses paths with, like, Nightmare, who is a pretty popular Marvel villain. He's the evil ruler of the dream dimension, so that would really tie in well. There's obviously his arch enemy Cobweb, who is another one of the Mindscape creatures.
But perhaps most notable is 8-Ball, who is a muscular individual with all blue spandex, head to toe. Well, not head to toe, neck to toe, because on
neck
the head...
To toe.
On the head resides a giant 8-Ball helmet.
And he's just a guy.
That covers
his
entire
head. Just a low-level street thug criminal. I think
he's
how
a guy that's shitty at pool, and then, yeah. But
I think how we get 8-Ball wrapped into this is, I think 8-Ball is actually Rick's enemy, and Sleepwalker has like more of like a high powered enemy, but they're both working separate of each other. Like 8-Ball has no idea of all like the big picture.
Yeah.
But 8-Ball is just, he's just like, he's looking for maybe like Rick accidentally like bumped into him or something at the bar and he like missed
his shot.
And
that's why he lost his game.
And he lost like $100,000 or something. So now he's like wanting revenge on Rick or I don't know, some stupid thing. But I like the idea that 8-Ball isn't even, not necessarily like even like a real villain, like maybe he helps out at the end. So there's basically two different battles happening throughout the movie. There's this Rick trying to deal with his everyday life and mixed up in some sort of like gang nonsense, and that can be a bit of a comedic thing going on. But then there's also this other battle of, like, for the souls and dreams of mankind, where Sleepwalker is defending, you know, whatever from Nightmare and Lullaby and Cobweb and whoever else.
Right.
And Shuma-Gorath.
Shuma-Gorath's got to come in there. Oh, the mini-angled one?
So, Chris told me he would only be on the podcast if he could talk nonstop about Shuma-Gorath. Shuma-Gorath, for those who don't know, which is pretty much everybody, is a huge, huge Marvel like entity, basically like Cthulhu, immortal, but just like purely evil. Resides in the Cancerverse and cannot die. And the mini angled one.
Even though he resides in the Cancerverse.
Right. I mean, isn't that why he resides in the Cancer? I mean, because when you're in the Cancerverse, you can't die, right? That's the point.
That's the old. Death. That's how the old saying goes. My doctor told me, and I said, I don't know if you're a real doctor.
So,
then we talked about Shuma-Gorath for a while. Anyway, I think what's Rick? I remember Sleepwalker, and I remember there was a guy that he came out of. I don't remember if the guy turns into him, or if he just appears when Rick is sleeping. But I know Rick has to be asleep for Sleepwalker to show up. Hence the name. But sure. I think that he just pops up somewhere whenever Rick is asleep. But I think that Rick should be Mike Birbiglia, because I think he looks like an average schmo. And Mike Birbiglia would bring a little comedy to it. And also, he has horrible chronic sleep problems.
You know what perfect. I mean?
He has so much material about his terrible sleep issues, which I'm sure he would want to expand on further into the Marvel Universe.
That's so good. Yeah, so I love it. So Rick Sheridan, played by Mike Birbiglia, is just a guy. He's a college student. I think he's a non-traditional.
That makes
went back to college. Sadder, right? I think he was like the superintendent at his building for a while, and then he went back to college to become a film filmmaker.
Follow his dreams.
He's got a girlfriend named Alyssa. They're going steady, but he refuses to.
He's propose. Got a fear of commitment.
I like that. He's got a fear of commitment, and that's going to come up later, right? That's going to be a theme for him.
And Birbiglia plays commitment fear well, so that would be great. That's one of his strong suits.
When he gets typecast.
Yeah. So, guy with sleep problems that has a fear of commitment, go to Birbiglia.
So then Rick is are we playing him as kind of like a bumbling idiot in that way?
Oh yeah.
Totally. Yeah, for sure.
He's gotta be a real turd. And but with a heart of gold.
And, so I think we pick up with a day in the life of Rick Birbiglia, of Rick Sheridan.
Let's call him Rick Birbiglia now.
And Rick Birbiglia. And he is, we kind of just see him like doing his like superintendent duties. And then he goes to his film class, and his girlfriend calls him, and she's like, hey, you like, are we still on for dinner or whatever? And he's like, yeah, of course, Alyssa. So then they meet at the pub. They always go to the same pub. You know,
with the pool table
every Thursday night, and it's got the pool table.
Same pool table, same pub.
And pubs, so
it's really tough
there.
To change out pool tables, so they do keep the same one.
Yeah, and it's tricky.
So he sits down at the booth. He's late. She's already there. He's late because he's running late from his tutoring session with the teaching English to the immigrants, The immigrants.
All of them.
Just all of them.
And that's how he refers to them, too.
Yeah, because he's like doing good stuff, but he's still like, kind of shitty about it.
He says, "Babe, I'm sorry, I'm late. I was teaching English to the immigrants."
And then, like, these immigrants,
four people turn from like the bar and turn and look at him with just like disgust.
And we're like, "What an asshole!"
Why and she says,
"Have a problem with immigrants? We're a really liberal bar."
Sit down. She says, "She's like, listen, we have to, like, we need to talk. Like, I need to know if this is going somewhere, something like that." And basically, we get this commitment issues from him, and she's kind of giving him like this, hey, we've been together for, you know, 8 years, Rick. Like, it's time to, like, do something. And and maybe he's like, he runs away, he bumps into 8-Ball. I don't know. What does he do?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I would love to talk about this, but I got to go take a shit. So he runs to the bathroom.
Well, she could say, look, Rick, it's time. We've got to do so. You've got to shit or get off the pot here, like using that. And then he's like, well, that actually, now that you mentioned, I do need to take a shit. And he gets up and goes to the restroom of the pub, runs into the never changed out pool table, hits the guy that will famously become 8-Ball, who messes up the game of his life. I don't know what he does and how he messes up. I don't know enough about pool, but something happens and he probably
scratches on the 8-Ball.
Scratches.
Let's talk about
on the 8-Ball. The 8-Ball goes flying through the air, and pops a guy in the head, a mob boss.
Let's talk about 8-Ball. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about 8-Ball. I think we see 8-Ball, like, when we first enter the bar, we see him. So he's not wearing his spandex yet. He's just a dude. He's got a real head. And he's it's good old Jeff. What's his name? Jeff Haggies?
That's how he's described by all
Jeff
of his
Haggies.
So Jeff
he technically works as an engineer for the Department of Defense.
No, fuck that. Instead, he's a pool shark, and he's got like an eight tattooed on his forehead, like Bullseye does.
Oh my god!
Yeah, because he's like real legit. Everybody calls him 8-Ball. He's like the big pool shark in town, and he's a hot deal, right? But he goes to these lowly pubs and, like, I don't know, hustles people. So he's playing. He's got a big bet on the line, and we kind of see this. We hear it kind of happening from the booth. And he's got $100,000 on the line against some big gang mafia, whoever, mafioso, and the mafia gang, the chain gang. That's what they're called in the comics, right?
Oh, right, right.
So I like this point in the movie. This is our act one, but as our little prologue, can we just see the sleepwalker in the mindscape, and he is having some epic battle with Cobweb? And they're going back and forth, and Cobweb, like, we like see them using the, what do they call them? The devices, Imagineers. What are they called?
The Imaginator.
We see Cobweb using the Imaginator, and they go into the mind of the sleeping man, and it just happens to be Mike Birbiglia in his room asleep, and Alyssa's like next to him or whatever, but we see them kind of fighting inside of his, like, dreams and whatnot. And we see, you know, we see Sleepwalker get trapped inside of there. And Cobweb escapes, ripping the Imaginator off of Sleepwalker. Sleepwalker's trapped in there. Boom, title credits. Sleepwalker comes up. And then we just have our day in the life of Mike. He gets up. Mm-hmm. We see him getting up from bed. We see him doing all of his normal stuff. And we don't see any indication of Sleepwalker until Mike's going in the bathroom. He's not taking a shit. He's just staring in the mirror like...
I don't know.
Am I calling him Mike? Rick?
He's Mike now.
Yeah.
Rick.
It's Rick Birbiglia.
Rick, yeah. Birbiglia. He's looking at himself in the mirror like, what am I going to do? You know, all this kind of stuff. And
can we get like a flash, like a image of you see Sleepwalker in the mirror for just like a split second?
Yes.
Rick is looking in the mirror. He sees Sleepwalker for an instant, gets freaked out, and starts like kind of like he leaves the bathroom. He just leaves the bar through the back door or something and goes into the alley. And that's when Rick knocks him. Or sorry, not Rick. That's when 8-Ball clocks him, knocks him out. He falls unconscious. which then awakens Sleepwalker, of course, right? So now we have Sleepwalker awakens inside of him, protects Rick from 8-Ball, kind of fends him off and everything, and 8-Ball runs away. So then we have this first interaction between Sleepwalker and Rick.
And this is still 8-Ball sans giant 8-Ball on his head, right?
That's correct. This is when he's going to...
8-Ball in his civilian clothes, whatever those are.
But he's going to have, like, somebody build him this costume and build him, like, his whole persona so that he can get revenge on Rick. So he goes to... So, yeah, 8-Ball runs off.
Rick Birbiglia has been passed out.
Rick Sheridan is passed out, and Sleepwalker talks to him in his sleep, basically, and says... Because, like, can Rick... So we have to establish this here. Like, if they can only communicate when Rick's asleep...
Yep.
How does that happen? Does it happen in his dreams? Like, Sleepwalker talks to him in his dreams?
Sleepwalker talks to him in his dreams, and Sleepwalker can only do things when Rick is asleep. And as soon as Rick wakes up, Sleepwalker's like, oop, and then gets sucked back into his mindscape.
I actually love this. Mindscape. I love this a lot, because that means that any time... Rick needs Sleepwalker to save him, he basically just needs to knock himself out.
Yeah.
So I like that. There's like going to be a lot of comedic moments for that in this movie.
Yeah, I love it because it's horribly, horribly inconvenient. And I love any like setup, because it's always like every movie, like, oh, it's so cool to have superpowers and stuff. Anytime it's like, oh, this is such a pain in the butt and I've got to be asleep in order to do this.
I
can't even reap any of the spoils. I think it's great.
We're talking about the rules of inconvenience and whatnot. So,
That's the subtitle of this movie, Sleepwalker, the rules of inconvenience.
Let's get that one.
So Rick's in an alley. He may or may not have used the restroom. There's still
recently
some
punched.
Debate. Recently punched. Recently evacuated his bowels. We don't know, but he's there. He's punched. Sleepwalker shows up. He's like, what? Sleepwalker is Rick's not, because he's asleep. 8-Ball, sans giant sweaty helmet on his head, is there heaving, ready to just to lay into him. He's like, what the hell? And Sleepwalker does some of his weird, vague Sleepwalker powers. That's the other thing that's great about Sleepwalker, is his powers, like a lot of characters from the 90s are like, I don't know, he can do kind of just everything, whatever we need him to do. He can float around. He has weird reality-altering rays he shoots out of his eyes. And then he's just generally good at stuff like fighting and seeing things.
He's pretty much able to do anything. Which is great, because he's a dream creature. So just like in your dreams, he can pretty much do whatever he wants. He fends off 8-Ball, and then he's in Rick's head talking to him while Rick's asleep. And we basically have this whole scene in Rick's mind, but we have this conversation between the two of them. Sleepwalker basically says that he tells him he's trapped inside of Rick's mind, but there is this great war of the mindscape happening, and he's needed back to protect humanity from the mindscape, creatures in the mindscape and whatnot, and he's going on and on about it, and Rick's just like, well, I can't help you with that, you know, I've got my own issues here, you know, and he's listing off his own issues, and then we have...
And he just runs through them like...
And so Sleepwalker is like persistent and like trying to, and then Rick kind of wakes himself up, and he's like in the alley, and he just like awkwardly goes home. We cut to later that night, and he's talking to Alyssa, and they're getting ready for bed or whatever. And he's like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what I had the weirdest dream, and I just wanted to come home. And she's like, we still need to talk about this, Rick. Like, you can't run away from this. And he's like, yeah, I know. Let me just sleep on it. And like, we'll talk about it in the morning. So then he goes to sleep. And boom, who's there every time he goes to sleep? Sleepwalker. And
Sleepwalker.
Just like with his conversation, just like his real life, he can't run away from this. It's literally there every time So I think we have like a montage where he's trying to avoid.
And then Sleepwalker also kind of reiterates the same conversation. Like, we have to talk about this.
Look, Mike Birbiglia, we have to talk about this. You can't run away from this. And then there's literally nowhere he can go. He's not.
And I think it'd be funny too if like in his dreams, like, Sleepwalker turns into his girlfriend at times, and, like, you know, because this is literally how Rick is, like, perceiving the dreamscape and whatnot, and right. Sleepwalker knows what's going on with Rick because he's there in his mind the whole time while he's watching everything. So, anyway.
Can there also be a montage where, like, it's Rick's, would be later on in the movie, but it's Rick's job to sleep as much as possible so that Sleepwalker can do something. But he can't really explain that to Alyssa, so it's...
I actually think that comes up next. Well, and I think... Go ahead, Chris.
No, I think he should get a horrible sleeping pill addiction. Because he's like, look, I'm doing this to so dark. The world.
Perfect.
I got it. If I'm going to save the world, the more I sleep, the better. And he's just, body deteriorates over time. He's having a lot of issues.
Can we do a more comedic version of that and do basically, so we have a montage where Rick is trying to get away from Sleepwalker and he can't run away from him because he's literally in his sleep. So eventually we have this kind of, you know, call to order or call to action. And Rick finally embraces the fact that Sleepwalker needs him, and he's like, okay, fine, I'll help you with your thing, and then you'll leave me alone forever, right? Sounds good. Okay. So he's like, so then we get our act two is like our training montage, but the training montage is just Rick just sleeping. So we're cutting back and forth between Sleepwalker, like doing like crazy dreamscape, like Avatar the Last Airbender, like, posing and, like, all kinds of crazy shit. And then you just cut back and forth to Mike, like, snoring, rolling over, sleeping. Alyssa coming in and, like, trying to, like, nudge him awake, and he's just, like, out cold.
Mike, like, snoring or, like, fluffing his pillow.
Say that again, Chris.
Looking at different sleep medications and trying to make it as... looking at different sleep medications and trying to make an informed decision on WebMD about it. Like, it's just a bunch of that kind of stuff. Like drinking a warm glass of milk.
Right.
To help him sleep. You know, all kinds of stuff.
Doing some breathing meditations.
Yeah. Looking at white noise apps to see like which one's the best rated.
Yeah.
While some hardcore, like great montage music plays in the background.
So basically our act one and two are just these guys getting to know each other and eventually kind of like getting on the same page to the point where Rick can kind of, I think we kind of jump ahead a couple weeks and we do this through flash kind of like cuts between Rick's life and 8-Ball's life. So I think 8-Ball, we kind of catch up with 8-Ball and he's in a bad place. Like he's got, you know, he's not looking so great. He's been roughed up a few times and he, you know, knocks on the door and, you know, the little thing slides open. Yeah. What do you want? And, he says, he's like, I'm here to see her or whatever. And, you know, slides it closed and he opens, come on in. And then we get him going to, I don't know, some like mafia queen or something like that. And she's going to like, she's going to like equip him basically. So he's like, he's in debt. He's got nothing to lose. And she says, okay, well you become like I'll do this for you. But you'll pay me back with, you know, hits. He becomes an assassin or something.
Also, I'm going to make sure that you look ridiculously stupid the whole time.
Yes.
No, she did.
You can help me out, but you got to wear this big, stupid fishbowl on your head, you piece of shit.
He says, okay. He says, I will, but you have to paint an 8 on it.
That makes it even harder to see.
I don't care. I don't need to see.
It's going to wreak havoc on your T-zone. Gonna get so oily underneath that thing.
So
yes. Like
good.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that. We get the origin of 8-Ball. Then we get him kind of like doing random shit for her.
Petty crimes
and whatnot.
so petty.
And I think we have to have another run in with him and Sleepwalk, with him and Rick at some point, right? So yeah. Rick is yeah. just he's going. He like maybe we see him at the bank. I think there's got to be a bank scene. So we see him and Alyssa at the bank, and they're like. Because, like, they're taking that first step and they're going to get a joint bank account or
joint
something like that.
Joint bank account!
And
it's a big step. Big and
so, you know, Mike's real Rick's real nervous about it, and he's, like, kind of sweating and everything. And then who comes in? 8-Ball. It's a bank robbery. Everyone on the ground and all that stuff. And so she gets on the ground, and Rick's just, like, falls asleep. He's, like, trying to, like, fall asleep, and he can't fall asleep. And she's like, what are you doing?
But you can also... You can also barely right. hear what 8-Ball has to say because it's all just muffled. Inside so that muffled. Helmet. So there's a moment where everyone's like, what?
Right. And everybody's
it's a bank robbery. Get on the roof.
Right.
What'd that guy say?
Yeah. And he's only armed with a pool cue. So everybody's like, I don't know. But then it turns out his pool cue has like all kinds of weird technological special powers that come out. Like, all right, let's take him seriously. And everybody get on the ground.
So Rick is like trying to fall asleep and he can't fall asleep. But he says like, he turns to Alyssa and he's like, punch me hard. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
She goes, so, Rick, not now.
I think he just like, I think he stands up and just runs into a wall and just knocks himself out.
Or he could reveal some type of information to her that makes her want to punch him, like how he's not ready
to really
get a joint bank account.
That's good. Yeah, he just makes her mad. So she just pops him, knocks him out, and she's like, oh, my God. And then
– That's going to be a really hard punch, though. Do we want to endorse that kind of
– Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I mean, is it any better than running into a wall?
I like running into a wall. I think that's pretty funny.
Okay, so what if he tells her stuff to get her angry and it doesn't work on her, and then he just like gets fed up and he's like, ah, and he stands up and runs into a wall, boom, and then everyone sees this happen. So I think Alyssa's maybe the only one who sees it's coming from Rick, or maybe 8-Ball sees that too. But then, you know, like this dream vision-esque horror figure comes out of Rick's mind and protects everyone. And starts fighting off 8-Ball. So we have our first big fight scene between the two of them in the bank. Pretty cool. Pretty comedic, I think. And then 8-Ball is, you know, foiled again by this same creature that he saw before. And now he's like, okay, now I'm... Because like, I don't think before he didn't want revenge. Before he was like desperate for a gig or money or protection or something. So that's why he went to this mafia queen. Who's, by the way, we need to give her a name.
Mafia Queen's pretty good.
Okay, Mafia Queen.
Queen.
I like Donna.
Queen Pen.
No, she's like just Donna?
Yeah.
Just her name's Donna.
Yeah.
She's
I like Donna.
She's got
too.
Like I like to think that she's got a Wisconsin accent.
Yeah. It all takes place. Well, no, he's in Brooklyn, I guess. I wanted it to be in Wisconsin, but
I think this can take place in Wisconsin.
Really? You're willing to go outside of the canonical?
I think we have to. Otherwise, I feel like Spider-Man would show up to protect this bank.
Sure.
I like it taking place in Wisconsin. I think this takes place in,
I think technically 8-Ball is from Duluth.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay, this is definitely in Wisconsin then, because that's not...
Well, Duluth is in Minnesota, right?
I thought it was in North Dakota.
They're all the same thing, guys.
No offense to anybody listening in those states.
We're losing all our Rick Sheridan audience members and anyone who lives.
And we live in Missouri, so people think the same thing about us. So no offense.
Yeah, but it's the general cheese part. It's the cheese like. It's the cheese affiliated part of the Midwest, just that area.
Sure. Yeah, that's where this takes place.
The cheese.
It is Duluth, Minnesota.
Minnesota, okay, Duluth, Minnesota.
They've got cheese, I'm sure.
We'll say this takes place in Duluth, Minnesota. Let's say it takes place in like Twin Cities.
Great. Mm-hmm.
I think that we need a little more metropolis. Okay, so Rick and so Rick's knocked out. So then Sleepwalker and 8-Ball fight. 8-Ball is foiled. Sleepwalker gets, you know, goes back into Rick. He wakes up, and him and Alyssa get out of there, and she's like, "What the fuck was that? Rick, what the hell just happened? Like, I saw, you know, why'd you run into a wall, and then like a creature came out of you?" And he's like, "Okay, I'll tell you everything." Or maybe he doesn't. I don't know.
I mean, you got to at this point, right?
Yeah, I think he can't hide from it. So
how do you not? How do you not?
We have to. We need an appearance by Nightmare again, I think.
Right. So okay. So now with Alyssa's help, Rick, like, really, she's like, okay, well, we have to help this creature. You know, we have to help the Sleepwalker. If, you know, but he says it's true and everything, and he needs to, like, save humanity. We got to help him. So then I think she, what if she's like some sort of like, I don't know, like a, she's like a seance. Like, I want her to have like some sort of like, she's like a fortune teller or not a fortune teller.
Are we talking about Alyssa?
Yeah.
I'm just.
Oh, I mean, she could also be like a psychologist or something and have access to.
Okay, that's good. She's a psychologist. So I think she can, she taps into, she lays him down. And that's why, oh, that's really good, actually. And that's why Rick is so like scared of like talking to her, because he knows that she sees through his bullshit and like.
Yeah,
and
she's got to psychoanalyze him.
Yeah. So she brings him into her office and she lays him down on her couch, and then she starts like analyzing, and she actually pulls Sleepwalker out of him when he's like in this like half asleep, half like meditative state. So the three of them actually talk together and figure out the way to get Sleepwalker's Imaginator back.
Wow.
But how are they going to do it is the question, right? So there's,
right.
So I think what has to happen is, maybe Alyssa decides to use herself as bait for Cobweb to enter her mind when she falls asleep. But then, okay, so hear me out. What if her and Rick have to be so in sync and so simpatico that when they fall asleep, they actually like share dreams? And that way Sleepwalker can transfer from Rick's mind into her mind and fight Cobweb in her mind.
And so he has to overcome this thing about commitment in order for that to take place.
He's got to open himself up to her so much so that she knows him in and out, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I
love it. That's pretty good. It's
a wonderfully convenient plot device.
I think we have to have our long dark night of the soul, though. So I think what happens is Sleepwalker and so Sleepwalker, it works, right? So we have a little bit of like Rick and Alyssa kind of like falling more in love and having that like symbiotic relationship, and they fall asleep and the plan is enacted in Cobweb, because like, you know, Sleepwalker knows what Cobweb looks for in a mind or something like that. So Cobweb comes to this mind. He attacks Sleepwalker right as he's like manipulating her mind. Sleepwalker enters from the bridge from Rick's, and he's like, "What the hell? This never happens." And Sleepwalker and Cobweb fight inside of her mind. And I think he wins, but there's an unforeseen twist, and Nightmare appears, right? I think, or either Nightmare or Shumagorath. No, it's gotta be Nightmare. It's gotta be Nightmare. Both? I think Nightmare can't be both. I think Nightmare
Nightmare riding a Shumagorath. And Nightmare is either played by Gary Busey or David Lynch. But if it's played by David Lynch, he gets all like final editing options in the movie, so he can make all the nightmare sequences just absolutely bizarre and absurd.
Yeah, David Lynch. This is going to be co-directed by David Lynch and
Mike Coniglia. America's been asking for that team up for a long time. There's a big crossover in people that play David Lynch. And Birbiglia.
Lynch and Birbiglia present Sleepwalker.
And comics from the 90s. There's I say that, but I guess I like all three of those things. So. This movie's just for me. Thanks.
I mean, that's why you're the guest.
So, okay. Yeah, this movie really reflects you, Chris. I like it.
Yeah, it does.
So right as Sleepwalker is about to defeat Cobweb, then maybe they're sucked from the Mindscape into the dream dimension by Nightmare.
Is the Mindscape different from the dream dimension?
It is.
Yeah, Andy.
Got it.
Idiot.
So now Sleepwalker and Cobweb are sucked out of their minds. So now Rick and Alyssa wake up and it's like, oh my God, we're fine. Everything worked out. Like, Sleepwalker's not here anymore. He defeated Cobweb. I think we're okay. And then what happens? Poof, explosion in their apartment. Who found them? 8-Ball. He tracked them back to their apartment. Now 8-Ball is here to kill them, or to get Sleepwalker out of Rick, but Rick is he doesn't have Sleepwalker in him anymore, so he tries to knock himself out and nothing happens. And Alyssa's like, wake up, and he wakes back up.
Right. It just doesn't work.
And I think they get captured. So 8-Ball is going to take them back to...
Right. Sorry.
You just cowardly.
I'm still trying to recover. I'm still trying to recover from you using the phrase sucked out of their minds.
Sucked out of their minds? What's wrong with that?
It's a
classic comic phrase.
These guys are going to get sucked out of their minds. Yeah. They would bring the entirely wrong crowd into a darkened theater.
David Lynch directed this? Oh, hell yeah.
All right.
Rick and Alyssa are kidnapped by 8-Ball and brought to Donna. Meanwhile, Sleepwalker and Cobweb are taken to the dream dimension. And we realize, so I think that the Mindscape, this war in the Mindscape was all kind of like a part of, we realized that it was like some sort of civil war. And that there was a bigger, like, I think we can hint at this throughout the movie with Sleepwalker and in the prologue especially, but there was like this bigger war against the dream dimension because it's being, you know, reigned by the evil Nightmare. And so maybe Cobweb and Sleepwalker have to, like, I don't know, team up or something and defeat Nightmare, or at least fend him off. Or, I don't know, we got to do something. I'm really bad at, like, the big scope stuff, so I don't know. This is where we need David Lynch to come in.
This is where we need the hand of David Lynch to come in and sculpt it. But if you're playing by David Lynch's rules, you're like, and then there's a dead cat that's been boiling in tar. And it doesn't have to make any sense.
Sure. That's true. I guess this
it is also a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. So. Right. I think the nightmare sequences or all the dream sequences should be pretty confusing and weird.
Sleepwalker and Cobweb are like they were fighting and everything. And right as Sleepwalker was about to kill Cobweb. they realize they have to work together to escape the dream dimension in Nightmare's grasp. Because Nightmare is trying to take control of the Mindscape. And at the same time, there was the civil war happening in the Mindscape between the Guardians and the evil creatures. But they work together, they use the Imaginator, and they both get out of there back to the Mindscape. Mm-hmm.
Is Mike Sheridan still passed out?
So, yes, Rick Birbiglia is still passed out.
So if he is, then that means that once they use the Imaginator, can they now manifest in our world and maybe save them?
Let's say he can.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I like that. So
I think if you have a device called the Imaginator, there's no limit to what it can do.
Not that it really matters, but I actually kind of – this whole time I've been envisioning Cobweb as a woman – anyway, as like kind of like the female equivalent of Sleepwalker, I guess. And so, yeah, what if there's a truce between them? They kind of like, you know, they shake hands or whatnot, and she's like, okay, well, like, let's, you know, protect our home or whatever. And Sleepwalker says, like, actually there's there's unfinished business on Earth with Rick Sheridan. I need to protect him or something, like, because he can like sense it because Rick's knocked out. And so then we have like they're in this dark room and Rick like 8-Ball comes out with his like he's got like a spiked pool cue or whatever, and he's gonna like torture them to get like some to get some information out of them.
For fun. He hates them.
Yeah, for fun.
Yeah. He's still mad at them.
And then we get Sleepwalker like kind of busting out. What if actually what if Cobweb comes along too and inhabits Alyssa?
Yeah.
And we have Sleepwalker and Cobweb like manifesting out of their bodies and just like wreaking havoc on the whole mafia. Donna
all
and her
of them.
Crew.
Every mafia member.
And then
all of Donna's mafia.
Right. And then that's it. And then we finish it off with so what happens? Does Sleepwalker go home? Like, does he thank Rick? And, you know, I think it's got to end that way. I think Sleepwalker, there's too much unfinished business at home for him to, like, he basically came back and helped Rick one more time, and he says, like, I'll see you in your dreams, Rick Sheridan. And then, and then him and Cobweb go back to the Mindscape and right. try to unite all of the Mindscape creatures against the evil creatures of the dream dimension. And that's right. where we take up in the sequel. But Rick and Alyssa, you know,
they finally
so
get
much
that
together.
Loan together.
They finally go to the bank and get that.
That's the final scene.
The audience this whole, they're like, are they going to get the joint loan or not?
I think it ends with her proposing to him. And he's just like, and then he just like maybe passes out, and we see it. And then we see in his dream dimension, we just hear like Sleepwalker, like, say yes.
She can ask him to marry her, and he can run into a wall again to knock himself out to evade the question.
Right? Like he was ready. He was like he was super happy to do get the joint bank account, but then she asked him to marry him.
But he's not just ready for that step yet. He's just been through a lot, and he's got to reassess his life. I think so then, also at the end there should be like a he wakes up and it was all a dream thing. or was it?
It was. Yeah. That's the point.
I think one of the other end credits needs to be we just see like we see Nightmare again in the dream dimension, and he's like. The Mindscape is more powerful than I had foreseen. I will need more assistance in this. And then he like ding 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 and like rings up, and he's got a little like a little rotary phone, and he rings up.
He's got a nightmare phone, right?
Yeah, and he rings up and we see Shumagorath in the Cancerverse. He's like, oh,
picking up the phone.
Hello. it's just I need your help and whatever. So mm-hmm. we basically get Nightmare and Shumagorath teaming up to go fight the Mindscape.
Right. And then, but then part of that, since it's an after credit scene, part of that is just Shumagorath and Nightmare catching up on the phone. They're just like, but so you never call me, but now suddenly you need some help when the Nightmare rolls. You know how far the Cancerverse is from the Nightmareverse?
have you finished Schitt's Creek yet? Oh, yeah.
I love it. I love some of Catherine O'Hara's best work.
I'm definitely waiting until the series finale before I destroy the Earth.
Right. I gotta see what Eugene Levy's son comes up with.
All right. We're gonna... that's a movie. We're gonna stop there.
That's a movie.
We're gonna come right back.
That's our catchphrase.
With something something special for you featuring Chris Stoker himself. So we'll be right back. Yeah. welcome back to Mr. Dream Guy. We're here sponsored by Mindscape. Get yours today. We're here with our contestant, Rick Sheridan. Rick, tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
I'm a non-traditional student in one of the dairy affiliated states. I just recently went back to school to study film. That's about it.
Well, Rick, thanks. Today we have for you three contestants, three options on you finding your dream guy. Contestant number one. Hello. Contestant number one. If you were to take Rick to some faraway dream place, where would you take him?
Well, I like to go to the land of unicorns and cotton candy. That's my favorite place to go.
Oh, Rick, how does that sound to you?
Sounds like a pretty unconventional answer, but I have to say my interest is piqued to see if that's if you're being literal or maybe using some type of coded language that I don't quite understand yet. I don't know.
Moving on to contestant number two. Say hello, contestant number two.
Hello.
Contestant number two. Mm. If you and Rick were in a situation of peril, what would you do to help Rick get out of it?
Well, I would probably become one of his childhood friends that he had thought he'd forgotten about, and we would then probably suffer great torment together as he relived several of the episodes of his childhood with me.
Rick?
That's pretty dark. Are you wanting me to respond, or am I to make a choice right now? I don't.
Nope, there's still another contestant.
I still feel
just
like
kind of
I
wanting you to see where you're at. That's enough, though. That's great. Contestant number three, say hello.
Hello.
Contestant number three, if you were to star in a feature film with Rick, what would the name of that film be?
Oh, it would probably be something along the lines of Sleepwalker.
Any thoughts, Rick?
Also my name.
Oh, pretty on the nose then, even though considering you don't have a nose, I'm a filmmaker myself, or at least I'm studying it in, as I said, one of the dairy states.
I'm sure you're great, Rick.
Wow, there's a lot of positive affirmation coming from you. So I've got to say, if it's not too soon to make a decision, I guess I can hold. I could just make one now, or
we had 30 more rounds of questioning. But if you're ready to make a decision, Rick.
No, actually, now that you mentioned it, I'd like to hear all 30 questions.
We'll get right to it right after this sponsor break.
Well, no, wait a second. Those were three. Can I just hear just the rest of the 30?
Oh, boy. Okay, good stuff, good stuff. Awesome. Chris, I was about to call you Rick. Chris.
He got Did lost you, in that character.
I got so lost in Rick Springfield.
Oh, yeah.
What was his name? Rick Sheridan?
Sheridan.
Rick Springfield.
Rick Springfield.
Is it too late to make him played by Rick Springfield instead of...
it's never too late.
Mike Birbiglia? Let's go back.
We'll hold auditions and we'll let them decide.
Yeah,
we'll let the actors decide.
That's right. We'll let them decide who wants the job.
That sounds like a healthy way to do it.
Chris, thank you so much for coming on, man. This was a blast. It's going to be a bitch to edit, but that's fine.
That's mostly your dogs, though.
It's mostly just my dogs barking in the background, mixed with all the thunder and rain outside.
Don't put the onus of the blame on me. That's mostly your dogs, Justin.
That's fair. That's fair. Hey, Chris, anywhere you want anybody to follow you anywhere?
I think as long as you follow me from about 6 feet away, that's okay. I prefer maybe a good 12 just to be doubly safe. Well, that's about it. No, I'm not on anything or any of that kind of stuff. So you can't. And
he's off the grid.
I'm off the grid. I'm living in. Down in the bottom of the Large Hadron Collider, deep in the close to the Earth's core.
Oh wow!
Very
deep.
This is pretty safe.
That explains the connection we're getting from you.
Yeah, you mean the emotional connection?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. Hey, Chris. Thanks so much for coming on, dude. If you want to follow us.
No, I'd still like to hear the rest of those 30 questions before you get off.
You can follow us at MC Who Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on Facebook at the MC Who Podcast. Andy, anything else from you? I'm off my game now.
You're crushing it, man.
This is insane. Well, good. I'm going to go ahead. Let's go ahead and stop here. So,
all right.
Chris, any final words?
Sleepwalker. Great character. Sleepwalker. He's aquamarine and doesn't have a nose, and that's what I love about him.
Until next time.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Justin.
And life is but a dream. Oh my God, he's got a villain called Bookworm who brings characters in books to life. Bookworm was eventually carted off to jail with a court order preventing him from having any reading material during his stay.
But could he write? But couldn't he just write something and then make that character come to life?
No, it's the power is specific to only published works.
He's like supported by Simon & Schuster or Penguin Press or something like that.